This is Matt from Three Count Thursday. We are recording an exclusive website interview for threecountthursday.com with the one and only Hot Scoop Skylar. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Hey.
Hey, so the first thing we like to do with any of our guests is just to get some background information. So, you know, did you like or watch wrestling growing up? And, you know, if so, who were some wrestlers that influenced you? And then if not, when did you really get involved in the wrestling side of things?
Yeah, so I've been obsessed with wrestling for, like, as long as I can remember. Maybe, like, since I was three, if I had to put a number on it. My great-grandmother, actually, which is super weird, I feel like, for a woman in her generation, was a super fan, and me and her were pretty much best friends. So I used to watch Monday Night Raw and SmackDown and Heat and everything with her faithfully. We never missed any, so.
Awesome.
Go ahead.
So then were there some wrestlers that maybe even that your great-grandmother liked that you kind of latched onto, or was there someone that stood out for you specifically when you were watching?
Definitely for me was Shawn Michaels. I idolized him as a kid. He was my absolute favorite. My grandma kind of liked him too, but I think she liked more of she loved Paul Roma, actually. And
oh,
Bret
wow.
Hart was more, yeah, her. She had like the biggest crush on Paul Roma, which is super weird because I trained with him. And so, yeah, just knowing that in the back of my head, I obviously didn't tell him, but.
Right.
But definitely love, Shawn Michaels for me, so.
Love that answer. He's actually my favorite wrestler as well. So I think
Shawn?
Yeah, DX is really what got me attached to wrestling growing up. And so he's always kind of stood out as my all-time favorite as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, so then when did it come to you that, you know, you had this passion and now you want to be a part of the industry? You know, what were some of the steps that you took in terms of, you know, choosing a trainer or finding a school? How did you go about getting involved in it?
So I always knew that it was something that I wanted to do. I always knew that, but I didn't know how to go about it. I grew up on WWE, and I admittedly didn't know anything about the independent scene. I didn't know that there was independent wrestling or anything about it. So I researched schools while I was still in high school and was looking for one close that I could go to and save up money for. And so I was going to move out to Kentucky because I thought that was the closest one because, like I said, I knew nothing about independent wrestling. And then one day I was talking to one of my friends, and I was just saying that I want to do this so bad, and they're like, why don't you just do it? Like, why don't you dig deeper and try and find something? And so I was like, yeah, you're right, I should. And I actually went on Instagram and came across Tequila Rose's Instagram account, and it was super weird because, you know, now I've wrestled her and I train with her, and I just messaged her and asked how she got into it, and she was so nice and explained everything to me. And then we're talking all day. And eventually it comes across that she trains right in Holyoke, Mass., which is like 35 minutes from me. So I just started going. I found Kevin Landry's Combine in Holyoke, Mass. So Kevin Landry is my trainer.
Gotcha. And then so during your training, what would you say were maybe some of the most valuable lessons you've learned as you've made your way into the ring?
I think a lot of repetition. We go over things and go over things and go over things, and it helps so much, especially going back to the basics, even months and months after it, and to get that refreshed in my head. I think my trainer keeps me pretty grounded. He always gives me feedback, and that helps me so much. And I think another thing that I learned, too, is to keep training. Like, I still am always training, and I feel like there's a lot of people that once they're ring ready, you know, they learn off of their matches. And that's great. If they can do that, that is so good. But to me, I feel like I need it. I need to keep going. I'm so new. I think I learned that, and that's helped me by just sticking with it.
So would you say you're more of like a actual in-the-ring learner? Like, I know some people go to seminars, you know, depending on who's there, and they'll just sit and listen and soak up that stuff and get so much out of it. And then other times people are just like, I need to be in the ring actually doing it in order for it to stick. Have you found either one of those to be true for you?
Yeah, well, so I've attended a few seminars, and I bring, like, a notebook, and I take notes, and you can absorb so much knowledge just sitting and listening. But, yeah, like you said, for me, I definitely need to be doing it myself. I'm not very good at just, like, seeing it and learning it. I need to actually physically do it in order to retain it.
Right, definitely. So then as you've made this journey and entered the wrestling business, what would you say at this point has been your favorite part? You know, is it creating a character or designing ring gear, developing moves, maybe even like developing a relationship with other wrestlers backstage? Does anything stick out as like, this is my favorite part of this business?
Oh, wow. So I think the memories, that part of it really is one of my favorites anyway. Just the road trips and the driving, like, you know, the 10-hour drives or whatever, and the people that you meet along the way, and you all have this big common interest, and, you know, everyone loves it and has this passion for it. That's really great. I think, you know, coming up with a character and then connecting with the audience, like, if you were to do something and you get a reaction from them, that is the best feeling in the entire world. So that is definitely one of my favorite parts of the process as well.
Do you have a preference at this point in terms of how you wrestle in face versus heel?
Definitely face. I think my moveset's more face, and I've been told I'm super nice, so it's weird for me to be a heel, but the times that I have been incredibly fun, so I think I'd like to dip into that again sometime in the future.
Yeah, I've always heard it's easier to be a heel because you can much easier get booze in terms of, not like, I don't know how to say this properly, but like it's easier to get the crowd to hate you at times,
right,
than it is.
Yeah, yeah, because I mean, you can just tell them off and get away with it, but I also feel bad, and that's not really me. So I don't know. I think I guess the face works better for me, and it is difficult, you know, getting a reaction being the good guy, but it's worked for the most part so far.
Yeah, definitely. So then how did Hot Scoop Skylar come to be? Like, is this kind of who you are in your personal life? Or is there anything that kind of influenced who you wanted Hot Scoop Skylar to be when you decided this was, you know, your wrestling persona?
So Hot Scoop Skylar, that all started on, actually, I was approached and asked to do ringside interviews, kind of like WCW style. At the Blitzkrieg Pro shows, it was just starting, and they just wanted someone to interview to just add a little bit more value to the matches and explain stories, get storylines across, and things like that. The character herself, like me myself, after a certain number of interviews, I kept getting the very, very mean heels, and they were kind of telling me off, and or, you know, just had this sort of disdain toward me. And that completely connects, I feel like, with who I am, you know, in real life. Just, like, I feel like Hatsuka was kind of like the sideline person, and people would just, like, walk on her and push her to the side and take her microphone and things like that. And then one day I just, you know, I had enough, and I was done training. I was ring ready and had my debut match, and I feel like that is in direct correlation with real life, because I feel like a lot of my life I was just on the sidelines and pushed over, walked over, pushed around, and yeah, I'm kind of, you know, finding myself and taking the reins in my life. So
now, when you were approached for this and decided you were going to do this, the ringside interviews with Blitzkrieg, were there any, like, wrestlers, or not wrestlers, but other interviewers in the business that you kind of looked at in terms of getting a style like a Jonathan Coachman or a Renee Young, anything like that?
Yeah, no, I did watch interviews, Renee Young, and just a couple interviews I would find, you know, trying to get a feel for it. This is super weird, but I watch Wendy Williams in the morning, and I'm such an old soul. I think I'm like 40, so I watch Wendy Williams in the morning, and she always holds her microphone, and she doesn't let people take it from her, and she always says that's the number one rule for interviewing, like, that is yours, and this is your position, and don't let anyone take it, and I mean, many have. over time. But I would watch that, and I'm like, oh, okay, I got to be stern about this. So I was trying to develop that in a sense.
That's fine. We used to do backstage interviews at a company called Keystone Pro, and our one guy, Ryan, was like the mic guy that did it. I'd say like 90% of the interviews the mic was taken from him. So
I guess we didn't
hear that role.
Yeah, I would always try, and then it was always like Joey DiNucci. He would just snatch it from me and then just start walking with it. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess my job here is done.
Right. Yeah, you don't know what to do just kind of standing there micless off to the
right.
side. Right. So it's been a fast and much-deserved rise for you in terms of your growth in the wrestling industry when you made the change from interviewer to wrestler. So we want to go back and take a look at your first ever match. You know, how did that go, in your opinion, your nerves going in? How did the crowd react to you? You know, was it one of those things where you were like, I want to savor this moment, or like, oh my God, I want to get this over with?
Definitely wanted to get it over with. My first ever match was a battle royal at Blitzkrieg Pro. I was still interviewing at the time, and I was going to be the guest announcer for the match. And then there was eight of us, and upon the eighth, I was the surprise entrant and introduced myself. So I was in my full little business interviewer suit, and I took it off, and underneath I had gear. And the crowd really reacted to it. They were psyched, and I was so scared. But getting the reaction and seeing like, oh, maybe I can do this, I just did it. And then afterwards it felt great. And then after, I was like, okay, I need to always be doing this. This is great. But definitely scared in the beginning.
Was there anyone in the crowd, like a friends or family members there to see it? Or was it just kind of like the regulars that you've been, you know, seeing as you were interviewing?
Yeah, it was mostly regulars. They have a good, like, faithful crowd that keeps coming. So it was a lot of regular people that I saw a lot. But my grandparents and my dad were there too. So that was cool.
Has your family always been supportive of your desire to be in this business?
Yeah. My dad's a really big wrestling fan as well. After my great grandmother passed, that's how my dad and I bonded. We both love wrestling. So after she passed, it carried on to Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, being with him and watching it with him. And my grandparents, they're supportive, but they're also like really scared of it, and they just always think I'm going to get hurt. And my grandma, just like, she's always clutching onto somebody's hand as she's watching me. She like can't take it. She really wants me to just finish school too. I get that all the time. So
All right, so then you've wrestled in a variety of different matches, tag, singles, intergender, like you said, the battle royal. Is there any style that you prefer at this point in your career?
So I definitely like the intergender matches. They are so much fun. I do like scrambles in particular. They're just the car crash matches, you know, where there's 5+ people in it and it's just a whole cluster. Those are really fun. They're very messy, but they're fun. I've recently dipped a little bit into comedy matches, and that was a blast. I just really enjoy the matches that are fun, and because wrestling's supposed to be fun, and when it reminds you that that's what it is and it's entertainment, those are definitely the kind that I like. I feel like I'd want to do a more intense match, like an extreme match, maybe like a ladder match or something in the future, you know, something really cool. I have this weird thing where I just want to know what a death match feels like, but I don't think I'll ever do it, but I'm kind of intrigued by it. Is that weird?
I was actually going to ask if that's maybe on the horizon for you.
I don't know if it's a close horizon or not, but I don't know. There's something about it that intrigues me. I don't know that I want to do. I give them so much credit for it. I don't know that I could do all of that, but I mean, I feel like attack bump. I feel like I want to feel that, I guess. I don't know. It's interesting to me.
Yeah, we're in a South Central PA, so we're right by Combat Zone Wrestling. They have their Tournament of Death every year, and I've always been a big fan, but I get why people aren't. So it's I'm always interested to see, like, you know, who's on board with that kind of thing. So it's cool to hear that that's maybe something you might be open to.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm a curious person, so I feel like at least once I would need to know, just so I can just mark it off the list and I just know. And even if I hate it, it's done with, you know? But I'm not super eager to jump into that anytime soon, I guess.
So then, in terms of the intergender matches, we've had a number of women wrestlers on the show, and it comes up because you don't really see it in the main stage in WWE, but it's really big on the independent scene. And some of the people we've talked to have said, if I'm not in an intergender match, sometimes I'm just not on the card because there's not a huge amount of women wrestlers all over. So have you found that to be the case?
Yeah, in certain companies, for sure. There's not always women available. I actually recently at Pioneer Valley Pro Wrestling, I believe it was 2 or 3 months ago, there were no women available. There was some tournament that was pretty close by, and they took a lot of the women talent, all women show, and I ended up wrestling a guy that night because there really was nobody else around and who was available. But I love intergender wrestling, so I really don't mind. I'm actually trying to push for more women's matches just to get a feel for more women, so I can wrestle all shapes, sizes, speeds, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've gotten to see, we haven't seen you live yet, but hopefully someday in the near future we can either make the trip up there or
Yeah,
you
that'd be
can come
awesome.
down here. But we have gotten to see some of your stuff on YouTube. Some pretty memorable matches, in my opinion, against Willow Nightingale, Tequila Rose, who you mentioned, a tag match with Jeremy Leary. Is there anything that stands out to you so far as like this, maybe not my best match, but like it was a great experience for me, or something that stands out as memorable for you at this point?
So the first, the couple that come to mind, definitely the first time Jeremy and I tagged, the first official time as a tag team, because we had been thrown together before, but as an official tag team we wrestled Scotty Wilde and Johnny Torres, and that match was so much fun, and of course it was the first time, so it was special. But I think the match I'm most proud of to date is I wrestled Davian. About I think it was probably like exactly 4 weeks ago at Pioneer Valley Pro Wrestling. It was a title match, and it was we just beat each other, and we really were getting the crowd reaction, and it was such a hard hitting, and it was intense, and it was just a really fun and memorable women's match, and in my opinion, I just really enjoyed it. And she's so talented that it was such a great experience. Also, I think last month I also jumped off a moving truck at Limitless Wrestling, and I don't think I'll ever forget that. So, in terms of memorable moments, I think that's probably near the top.
Yeah, that would probably stand out for me as well.
Yeah.
Right, so I want to touch on something you mentioned earlier. It was kind of goes with this question, in that you have been part of some notable promotions up north, like Blitzkrieg, WWR, Limitless, and there's really no shortage of indie wrestling promotions in the Northeast. And like you mentioned, you didn't really know about indie wrestling when you went to make your start, and that's kind of the situation we were in as well. We started our podcast, and then about a year in, we kind of were introduced to this world of indie wrestling, and it was crazy to see just how much there is available that we were just unaware of before this. So, do you think the number of promotions there are in your area has kind of helped you in terms of your career development, giving you these options, or have you said, like, I'm pretty loyal to this company, I'm going to make time for them first?
So it's a little bit of a mixture of both. I do think the abundance of independent companies and how indie wrestling's, rising again, and I think that helps so much. I am very loyal to Blitzkrieg and Limitless PvP and WWR, and I always want to be at those shows just because they've all given me such amazing opportunities. Those companies just really believed in me, even when I was first starting. And I don't think I'd be the wrestler that I am if I wasn't there, and if they didn't give me so many amazing opportunities. They gave me things that I felt like I wasn't even ready for, you know, and that you have to do that. Like, you can't just wait till you're ready. You'll wait forever, you know. So just jumping into these things and giving me these opportunities to learn and to grow, I definitely hold them all very high. But just how much is available, it does help you grow. And I want to go out and I want to wrestle really everywhere, anywhere and everywhere that I can. And the fact that there is so much available is amazing, you know.
So any plans or goals to wrestle, you know, maybe not just so much along the East Coast or out West, but internationally? You know, there's a lot going on in Canada, down in Mexico, Japan, England, the independent scene in other countries as well.
Yeah, actually, I've been setting every 6 months, I've been coming up with another goal that I want to accomplish. And my current one for within the next 365 days, I'd really like to travel out of the country for sure. I'd like to wrestle in different countries, and that's kind of like my top thing right now that I want to accomplish.
Yeah, I mean, it should be on like everyone's list, I think, as a wrestler. Like, how else can you grow without going to these different countries? Because the fandom in every place is so different. Like down in Mexico,
the styles too.
Yeah, such passion down in Mexico. And then Japan, like, everyone sits in silence in just awe of the wrestling. So I wonder, like,
what
would it be like to wrestle at all these different places?
Yeah, the different vibes and everything.
So with your training, do you get to watch a lot of the current WWE product?
Yes, I still do. We train on Monday and Wednesday nights. The gym opens up at 5:30 and we train 6 to 9. So it usually interferes on Mondays with Raw, but I try to keep up with it, keep up with NXT and everything.
So what is your opinion of the women's wrestling scene currently at the WWE level?
Legitimately incredible. I am so happy with how things are with women's wrestling. In the independent scene, it's amazing as well, but in the WWE, how far they're pushing with the Mae Young Classic and everything. I remember when I was growing up, like I said, I always watched wrestling. When some of the women's segments, I wasn't allowed to watch because they were so like explicit and, you know, they implied a lot, and my dad was super uncomfortable with me watching it as a kid. So it just like goes to show, you know, from the segments and matches they had before to what they're having now and the opportunities they're having now, and a 30-minute Iron Woman match. I never would have thought that would happen back then, you know?
Right, yeah, they've come a long way from the bra and panties matches that they used to.
I didn't want to knock them. I didn't want to knock it, but it really is such a great transformation.
So what was your take on the women's Money in the Bank ladder match and the finish, you know, since there was some controversy with Ellsworth being the one that actually climbed the ladder at the end of that?
Yeah, I guess that is kind of lame, but I mean, when it comes down to it, it's bad guys doing bad things, you know? I mean, if you really break it down, they're mad because the bad guy did something bad to win, you know, which is what they do. That's they're bad. but I mean, it is lame. I would have loved to see a woman climb it, you know, sit on the top, get that picture and that memory. But yeah, I understand both sides for sure.
All right. That was kind of the debate we had because our one guy, Jim, was saying, you know, Ellsworth's a heel. He's doing heel things. And then I was arguing that this is the first one. You know, I wouldn't have minded Ellsworth doing that in maybe the fifth ladder match.
Yeah, that's fair.
The first
that's
one.
Definitely fair.
All right. So as your career progresses, you know, you get more matches, become more of a veteran. What advice would you give to someone who's looking to make his or her start in the wrestling industry?
I would tell them to just go for it. If it's absolutely what you want to do and you have this undying passion for it and you know that it's what you want, to go for it. to know that it's challenging. It's very hard to balance a schedule. I'm in school full time and I work and I'm traveling, and it's so hard to keep it all going. And it's just hard in general. I remember the very first time I bumped, like my very first night ever, I cried after because I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. This is so intense. What did I get myself into? But I also knew that, like, I have to do this. I want to do this. So I have to tough it out and get through it. And then I was fine. So just to know those things ahead of time, that it's hard, it's not easy at all, but to go for it, it's absolutely going to be worth it. I've fallen even more in love with wrestling now doing it myself.
Awesome. That's great advice. So our next question is the most generic, cliche question you're probably ever going to get. What would your dream wrestling match be? You can pick past or present superstar. You can pick stipulations, you know, if you want to book yourself in that death match, any venue you want, you know, what's the match that this is going to be what I always want to do?
Man. Okay. So superstar, like being in the WWE, Charlotte, that might not be the most common answer, but I don't know. I know that she doesn't have the most years of experience. So I guess it's kind of, for most people, it's frowned upon when I say it, but I really think she's one of the greatest of all time. I think she's incredible. So I would love to see our styles go together. I'd love to wrestle that. I guess that would be the dream, to wrestle her. And there would definitely have to be a stipulation for it. It has to be a ladder match or, you know, TLC or something like that.
And then anyone on the indie scene that is, like, on your bucket list?
Yes. bucket list is Mia Yim. And
okay.
I actually got the okay to announce it. So you'll hear it here first. I'm set to wrestle her August 26th at Time Bomb at Blitz Creek Pro. So that's a first ever, and I'm so excited to be able to check that off the bucket list, and I got the okay to announce it. So
that's awesome. Yeah, everything I've seen her in has just always been incredible. So that will be a phenomenal match.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm very excited.
All right, so then before we let you go, we always keep time at the end to give you the floor, you know. So any plans for the future, upcoming events that we should be watching out for, you know, plug your social media where we can follow you, and then anything else that we might have missed during the interview.
Yeah, so plans for the future, I really, truly want to wrestle any and everywhere. So my contact information, it's skylarbookings@gmail.com for any inquiries. I'm willing to travel. I want to travel. I'm eager to travel. So I'd love to be booked anywhere. Also social media, Instagram and Twitter is Hot Scoop Skylar. I'm Skylar Marie on Facebook. I have a page there as well. And then for upcoming shows that I'm very excited for, Time Bomb on August 26th for Blitzkrieg Pro. Limitless Wrestling is having their anniversary show on September 22nd. It's a Friday, and it's called Question the Answer. So super excited. They always have crazy shows. And also Pioneer Valley Pro Wrestling is wrestling on August, or is having a show on August 12th. It is going to be in Southwick, Mass., which is really exciting because that's where I'm currently residing. So I'm excited. I can legitimately walk to that show.
Oh, great. Yeah. Easy travel.
Yeah. That's going to be cool. There'll be a lot of family and friends, hopefully. And then WWR is making their return to Aurora in Providence, Rhode Island on August 20th for the show Must Go On. So the card, I don't know if the card is set yet, but I absolutely hope that I'm on that. And I think I've covered all bases now. I guess shout out to Jeremy Leary. I'm sure he'd want that.
Yeah, sure. Shout out whoever you'd like. If it's
yeah.
Your...
I was asked, so I just figured I'd get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you again for joining us. You know, it was our pleasure again. Hopefully we get to see you live and not just, you know, with your stuff on YouTube. So, anyone booking on the East Coast, take notes. Skylar is willing to travel.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
It was our pleasure.